The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
So the beginning of the summer, we started the series called Parables, and we're kind of concluding it today. If you've missed any of the series, I really want to encourage you to go back to the podcast and check it out. One of the really cool things about this summer, is that we had a few different people in the church who are feeling the gift of possibly becoming a teacher. And so I got to share the teachings with Andrew and Thomas and Rob and, did I miss anybody? Andrew, Thomas, Rob, myself. Four of us got to teach you this. And we covered about eight or so parables. And what is a parable? A parable basically is a little story with a really big meaning. We kind of pointed out that the way that Jesus taught, over 30% of his teachings were through these parables. And most of the parables are found in the Gospel of Luke. And I want to encourage you that if you have not read through any one of the Gospels, my favorite is the book of John. That just happens to be my name as well. But my second favorite book, Gospel, is the book of Luke. And it has a lot of these great stories that really drive home a deeper meaning. Today, we're going to let you have a chance to take these parables, to kind of pray through them together as an individual or as family members, and to ask God to really show you and open your eyes a little deeper into the meaning of what these are. And we're going to do it in a creative way. Around the room, you're going to see four tables. There's two in the back and two up front. John, will you guys shift those while I talk? What we want you to do in a minute after I'm done explaining the morning is I want you to get up and move. And there's no particular order. You can go to any table you want and just spread out so the crowd kind of is dispersed evenly. And you're going to take time to go up to each table. In your handout, I believe, is a list of kind of what each table represents and some things for you to pray through, think through, and do at each station. And as you do this, we want you to take the time to reflect on what Christ is wanting you to hear as an individual. The parables all have specific meanings. And what we've done is we've tried to boil down the meaning of a handful of them to help you chew on them a bit more this morning and to go through some things together. So the way to make this a little organized is pick a table that you're going to start at and go and kind of approach the table. There's some instructions on the table, and the passage are actually written there, but it's going to be most helpful if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you have carry with you. There are plenty on the chairs. We're going to encourage you to read that parable. If you're doing this with a husband, a wife, or a son or a daughter, you can read it together as a group and then go through the instructions together and let God just kind of take you deeper into this journey. Before we do that, I want to kind of lay down what I think is the best message that comes from the parables of Christ. First of all, Jesus came ultimately for one reason. And it's the symbol of our belief, and that is the cross. Jesus came over 2,000 years ago to rescue us. And in order to rescue us, he knew he would have to give up his own life. And so at about the age of 33, Jesus went and allowed himself to be arrested and crucified on a cross. And he died in our place. The Bible says that he laid down his life, that no man took it from him. Yes, he was arrested. Yes, he was put on a mockery of a trial. But Jesus said, you don't take my life, I lay it down. And Jesus knew, even before he was born, that he was coming to die. One of the shortest kind of parables of Jesus is that Jesus said to those who looked at him, Jesus would often walk around in circles where the religious would never go. He would spend time hanging out with cheaters and thieves and liars and tax collectors and prostitutes, and this really upset the religious elite of the day. But Jesus said, a doctor comes for the sick, not for the healthy. And still, many of them just chose to reject this guy. Who was this guy? What was he all about? All they knew is that he was seeking to tear down the system that they had worked so hard to build, a system that was benefiting them, causing them to be able to rob people of their money, of their sacrifices, of their offerings, and using religion in all the wrong ways. So Jesus came to say, I am the great physician, and I am here to heal your woundedness. The truth is that every single one of us in this room was born into a sinful, broken world. The scriptures tell us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and me alike, we stand at the same distance from God when it comes to ourselves. We of ourselves can do nothing to earn God's love. But the Bible tells us that because God loved us so much that he gave himself for us as a sacrifice in our place. The Bible says that God loved us so much that whoever believes in him will not have to perish. Perish is not just death. Everybody will eventually die. Last week I said there are two things sure in life. What was it? Death and taxes. Exactly. All of us will eventually die. But to perish is to die without the love of God. To perish is to die and forever be eternally separated from God. But God gives the free gift of eternal life to anyone who would receive his love, receive his forgiveness into their lives. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So today, the first thing I want you to hear is that Jesus came to rescue you, to rescue me. We have this disease in our bodies called sin. Every single one of us is infected, and there's only one cure, and that cure is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus shed his blood for you and for me, and if you believe in that, he will give you unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what road you've walked. It doesn't matter what you plan on doing. Christ's love is freely given to anyone who would receive it. And so before we break up, I want to have a time of prayer for us together. And I want to ask you this question. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Do you believe that he died and gave his life for you? Have you ever opened up your life and said, come into my life and help me to be the person you want me to be? Forgive me of the sins that are in my life. Help me to follow you. Now, I would be a fool to tell you that once you pray that, you're magically changed forever. The truth is that God's change in our life is a process. Salvation is instant. As soon as you put your belief in him, you become a child of his. But if I were to look at a child who was born, where's Dave? If Dave has a brand new baby. What's his name? Dave, Jeffrey. Jeffrey. Brent, it would be ridiculous for him to go home and say, okay, child, walk. Okay, child, eat. It's a process. And for each of us, at the moment we choose to believe in God, we become born again, the scriptures say. And we start this journey of walking with God, becoming like God, as we surrender ourselves to him and let him change us from the inside out. But the first step is that new birth. And if you have never personally on your own, by your own choice, not something your parents did for you when you were a child, not something that you were born into. Yeah, my parents were Christians, so I guess I've been a Christian all my life. No, if you've never personally said, Christ, I believe in you. I want you in my life. I confess you as Lord. If you've never done that, then you're not a child of his. And today you can take that opportunity. He says if we believe in our heart that he is Lord and confess him with our mouth, then we will be saved. And so now I want to give you a chance to do that, to become a child of God. And then once we do that, we begin this journey of being shaped more into the person he wants us to be. And we invite you that as you go through these stations, that you allow God's Holy Spirit to take you and to examine your life and to explore that deeper journey that he wants to take you on. So let's pray. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for the way you love us. I thank you for the way that you teach us. I pray, God, that you would help us to realize, first of all, that without you, we can do nothing. That anything that's good in our life is because of you. Whether we believe in you or not, God, you are the author of all things good. God, I pray that you would help us to come to a point in our life, especially those who have never put their faith in you, to realize that on our own, there is nothing good for us. On our own, we cannot earn our own salvation. On our own, we are destined to an eternity apart from you. But God, through you, we can be forgiven. Through you, we can be made new. Through you, we can have our deepest, darkest sins washed clean. And God, I pray for those who are sitting in this room that they would come to a place of realizing that your love, your forgiveness, and they would call out to you. So God, I pray with those who are in this room right now who know that they need to call out to you. I pray, God, that you would hear their hearts right now and hear their minds as they call out to you, as they say, Father, forgive me. Father, I know I've been far from you. Come into my life. Thank you for dying on a cross for me and having your blood shed to forgive me of my sins. Make me the person you want me to be and help me to follow you. Help me to turn from the things in my life that I know are wrong and to give my life for you to live through me. In your name we pray. God, I also just pray for those who are in this room that do follow you, that have put their belief in you. God, help us to realize that you're not just there distant watching from afar, but God, you want to be a part of our everyday life. God, I pray that as you move through us, as we spend the next period of time going through these stations, looking into your scripture, praying with one another, surrendering parts of our life to you that we've not let go of yet, taking us into a deeper journeys, God, I pray that you would move and that we would yield to the moving in our lives. God, thank you for who you are. Be with us over this next period of time. In your name we pray. Amen. So, here's the way it's going to work. We're going to allow you to kind of get up and move to the stations as families or individuals. Make your way to the back tables. You can use the front or the back. You may want to sit in the chairs close to those tables and do your readings and praying and discussing with one another. At some of the stations, you're going to be led to do certain things. Allow this time to be a time of reflection, a time of just surrendering, and let God move through your life as we go through these events together.